We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
From Learfield, it's time for the official Wildcat podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group, the K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. Now, with more than 45 combined years on the K-State Sports Network, here are your hosts, Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Wildcat Weekly Podcast. I'm voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, joined by partner Stan Weber. Kansas State basketball, the topic today. The Wildcats are set to close out the regular season on Saturday. It is senior day as they host the Baylor Bears, and boy, is it a big game. After dropping that contest on Wednesday at TCU, K-State stands at 20-10. They are 9-8 in conference play and currently tied with TCU for fourth place. And Baylor is 8-9, and they are 18-12 and winners of six of their last eight. Some have said, Stan, that this game may determine who gets in and who doesn't. I don't know if it's quite to that level, but it is a monster basketball game for both teams.
Well, it is a giant game. They keep building as you get down to the end of the regular season, and we're in the last regular season game, hopefully the last game in Bramlage, because if you're an NCAA tournament team, you won't be playing here again. I would look at this game, Wyatt, with somewhat of the same tone, with a little different specificity in the fact that I think the winner will probably give themselves a great opportunity to be in the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. I don't think the loser's out because you still got the Big 12 tournament and things to be earned. But I do think it's what you maybe call a play-in game in the fact that the winner is going to look very good for NCAA tournament possibilities. And from the K-State perspective, I do think one win will be enough for the Wildcats. It'll clear the way that no matter what happens in the Big 12 tournament, the K-State would be in the NCAA tournament. Is Baylor in the same position? They might be, and it's getting close to being true. So I would assume that the winner of this game is going to be very happy and going to the NCAA tournament, and it doesn't mean the loser is going to be out. But you've got to play with that sense of urgency on the positive side. Forget the negativity.
Yeah, that's well said. And I think the thing that stings the most about the ball game at TCU Wednesday night is the fact that you're 2.5 minutes to go on the road where K-State has had some success. You've got the lead and the ball and just didn't get it done. That they were that close to winning another conference road game. That would have been sweet.
Yeah, and then we would say that they got the win and welcome to the NCAA tournament, and let's see how far you can work your way up the ladder and what kind of seed you're going to get, and just talk about great finishes because you want to win ball games. You want to finish high in the conference. A lot of things K-State is capable of doing and in position to do. I mean, they're in the top four teams in this conference right now, and in very good shape. They're going to be in the fourth, fifth, or sixth seed in this tournament when we get into Kansas City next week. But yeah, disappointing in the fact that if you just said you have a lead over TCU with 2.5 minutes left and you have the basketball, let's play this game out. And you're probably going to be holding your breath, biting your fingernails, and listening to Wyatt's play-by-play to say, did K-State win or not on that last-second shot? I don't know who'd be taking it, TCU or K-State, but you just know it's going to be down to the wire. And the fact that it didn't turn out that way, that at that point where you just spoke of, TCU went on a 9-0 run and won the game. And you're playing the last minute of the game really with almost no chance of winning. It was in 1.5 minutes of action on the court that K-State saw 9 points get rung up against them with hardly a shot. I'm not sure they did get a shot in that minute and a half, but K-State turned it over many times in the game. But at the critical time in the game, they had turnovers. They had unfortunate events like a jump ball called when the arrow was facing toward TCU. So instead of getting the ball back, that's a 50-50 proposition. You just keep adding to the pain. And then Brodzianski, their big guy, who's a very good player, makes only one shot all game, but it's a three-pointer when TCU's up by one, and suddenly they lead by four. K-State did not function the way that you would like, and you just look in the mirror. You can say often about the opponent, congratulations, good job. And I could do that a little bit easier with Oklahoma after Trae Young went crazy and just did what he did as his best this year. Mm-hmm. It's hard to get mad at K-State and look internally on that game. Sure, you had opportunities, but it's more about Trae Young just played great. And unfortunately, it's the only time he's played well in the last 8 games, but that's why you lose on the road there. This time you got the ball, you're up by one. TCU is a very good basketball team. It's a tough place to play, but I really thought K-State could look at the mirror and say, what did we do wrong? Especially in the fact that they didn't get it down to a last-second shot. It was over with 45 seconds left or a minute left. TCU had done their work so quickly, and K-State just did not function on the offensive end the way that you would expect on a night where Dean Wade was just flat-out awesome, and Barry Brown was good. And those are the kind of things that make you shake your head. We know what K-State can do on the road. They've been good on the road. They've been good in close games down the stretch, and you can't say, well, our two main guys weren't hitting on all cylinders. That wasn't the case. So to have lost a game when those two guys played really well, that really does make you shake your head.
Well, let's talk about Dean Wade for just a moment. You mentioned how well he played. He had 24 points in 39 minutes, went 10 of 14 from the floor. I was looking at the updated conference-only stats after the games midweek, okay? There are 13 individual categories that are kept. He's in the top 12 in 11 of those 13. The only ones that he is not in are three-point makes per game, and he is, by the way, in three-point percentage, and then the other is in offensive rebounding. He has just had a spectacular junior year. Unbelievably good.
He really has, and since conference schedule has started, it's to a whole nother level, and really, seriously, first-team all-Big 12 level. Now, if you take in every one of the games all season long, all 30-plus games, Wyatt, that you look at in a season, he was good at the beginning of the year, but not great. But ever since he went to Ames, Iowa, and played so well and lit it up and scored over 30 points that night, he has been so consistent, so good, doing everything right. His defense has picked up tremendously. His rebounding has gotten better. His ability to fight through the pains and the fatigue of playing minute after minute after minute and being the guy with your ball in your hands all the time, the one the defenders are all over. I mean, he got roughed up against TCU. They were double-teaming him. They were bumping him around, and he just kept playing and playing, hardly took a rest, and you don't see his game affected. You don't see Dean get tired and therefore less engaged, slowed down, not jumping as high, any of those things. He just keeps playing at a high level, and so I really am interested to see how the voting is going to come down. You know, it's not 50 slots for first team all Big 12, so you can't get upset and say he got ripped off. But he is right on the borderline with a ton of guards. You know, I don't know how they're going to do this. Is it matter by position? Is it going to be by a position, Big 12 first team, or is this going to be the five best? Mm-hmm. But Dean Wade's definitely, I mean, definitely in the conversation of being first team all Big 12. And it was some of his best play at TCU on a night where they were not getting any support from the other guys. It was all Dean Wade and Barry Brown. When you kept keeping track of the score, at halftime, you're looking up, and they have almost all the points. Just a ton of pressure on him, and all he did is continue to score. Many of these post moves, you know, that's not normally where he's going to get a lot of his points, back to the basket, working down low. But he was doing that flawlessly. Just an amazing game, an amazing Big 12 season so far in the conference play. And then throughout the whole year, Dean Wade's really picked it up to be a consistent star, and it's made K-State such a much better basketball team. And the opponents are trying to stop him, but Wyatt, they aren't figuring it out. He has too much variability. Like you said, he may not be putting great volume of threes through the hoop, but when he takes his three-point shot, he rips it at a high rate.
That's right.
You know, like 43%. So K-State is giving him opportunity. Bruce Weber and his staff have done a great job of designing the offense to have Dean Wade hurt you in so many ways that no one's found the answer to slow him down, because he has so much variability and so many options in this offense.
We remind you, the weekly Wildcat podcast is presented by BriggsAuto.com, by the K-State Superstore, and by Kansas Land Tire. Well, let's talk about Baylor a little bit. I know you break down teams and coaches all the time. I was looking in preparation for the game on Saturday at Baylor, and they went through a stretch, and K-State was part of that stretch in January, where they lost four in a row and basically were given up on by most. It's interesting to look at them since that time, and they have won 6 of 8. They've beaten Kansas. They've won at Texas. They've won at Oklahoma State. And it seems like the only real difference in them is Jake Lindsey into the starting lineup and King McClure out. It seems minimal, and yet it's been monumental, really.
Jake Lindsey is a hard player to deal with. I just gave you an analysis of Dean Wade about his ability to do so many things. Yeah. And that's where Jake Lindsey really comes into play. If you wanted him to be the point guard and just go out and battle the Devontae Grahams of the world and play point guard, he could do that. He could function and get the ball to others, and he's got some size. But when you give him the opportunity to do some other things, he can fill those roles. He loves to fast break. He loves to take chances. And sometimes you might say, well, that doesn't sound good. You want someone who takes chances. Well, I'll guarantee you, when you're the opponent, Wyatt, you don't like guys who will take chances, who will fit the ball through a little hole in your defense. And Jake Lindsey will do that. He may foul out because he goes for a couple steals he shouldn't. He may run over somebody because he's flying down the court and pushing into trouble that he shouldn't. But he also, when he isn't making those mistakes, he puts a ton of pressure on the opponent. He is big enough that he can score at the rim. He loves to go play fast and cut through the defense where you don't expect him, and then he can deliver the ball accurately to others. He'll shoot a three-point shot. I really am not surprised that he is a difference maker. I really felt that studying them the last couple of years, Wyatt. He's basically been a backup point guard, coming in once in a while. Mm-hmm. But when he was out there, he scared me. From an opponent's perspective, he did some things, and now they're making it additive. You know, he doesn't have to take away from LeConte getting his minutes. You get to put both of them out there. And then he has more freedom than ever to say, I don't have to do just the disciplined point guard stuff and set people up. I can go get my own shot. I can create. I can cause havoc. And if you're not careful, you know, if he's supposed to be on the left side playing defense, he's liable to be on the right side sneaking up behind you. He just does enough outside the system that you can't plan for him. And K-State is very good, Wyatt, under Bruce Weber, of studying the opponent, knowing what they need to do, knowing each play call. When they put up a number three or scratch their nose, I mean, the K-State defense knows what's coming, and they guard it well. We saw that against a highly explosive TCU basketball team that struggled. K-State played good defense against them. But Lindsey kind of blows that up a little bit. How do you plan for him?
That's
you
right.
Don't know what he's going to do. So I this team has potential. They're not a perfect basketball team, but they're playing better, and I think he is a hard guy to stop. They don't mind playing on the road normally, but I do want to point out, because when we were getting ready for the Oklahoma game, people were very down on OU. They had lost 6 games in a row. And one thing I wanted to point out to everyone was, but do you realize they've only lost twice at home all year? I mean, you can say what you want, but they've usually been able to get their work done at home, so be careful, because they may play differently in Norman. Well, Wyatt, on this one, it's very interesting, because right now everyone's building up Baylor, and you and I will be a part of that group saying, you watch this team, and you watch Scott Drew coach, that they are getting better as the season goes along, and they've usually been the best under Scott Drew about this time, Big 12 right. tournament time, into regular season, into the NCAA tournament. Given that, though, Wyatt, I do want to point out, they've only won two road games this year, okay? So if you want to look at something that may be a factor, K-State really needs to bring it and let them know they're on the road. It's not as if, like past Baylor teams who've had some success on the road and really been just as good on the road as home, this team's only won two games. And I think it's very critical for the fans of the Wildcats and the basketball team to have a sense of urgency and remind them that they're on the road and it hasn't been easy this year. They haven't had a ton of success. And those kind of little things are worth watching. They have not been as good on the road. And I hope K-State is able to let them know home court advantage does matter in this ball game, because what a big win it'd be. We started talking about this, Wyatt, and I can't help but say this. If K-State wins this game, they vault themselves into the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. It'll be super exciting on Saturday to play that last game in Bramlage and know that your team has done the work that they've done and still have an exciting opportunity in the Big 12 tournament ahead of you. But it'll be scary if K-State doesn't play well and loses to Baylor. The pressure will just continue to build. That'll be three losses in a row. Now you got to go to Kansas City, and you're going to play teams that are even with you, hard games. Let's just get it done on Saturday and hope that Baylor only winning two road games all year long is a factor that'll come into play.
Yeah. I guess one final thought here as we conclude the regular season this weekend. Let's briefly talk about the year in the Big 12 and from the perspective of Coach of the Year. Kansas will go into the final weekend as the champion at 13-4. If you have a vote, is Bill Self the Coach of the Year this year? I know they were picked to win it, and they did win it. But to get there, I thought it was one of his best coaching jobs since he's been in Lawrence.
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to not put Bill Self there, because this was the team that was most susceptible to not getting the job done.
Yeah.
He's got to play a few guys 40 minutes a game, and they were one game behind not long ago. And here they are. They cleared the field, snap of the fingers, went and stopped Texas Tech when the Red Raiders haven't lost at home. It's interesting, though, if you want to think about it, you got to open our minds up and say, okay, compared to what? Chris Beard has a great opportunity to say, don't forget about me, because the surprise team obviously was Texas Tech this year. No one talked about them being a factor in winning the conference. I think the last game on Saturday in conference play, why it makes a big difference, because if Texas Tech loses, then they've lost four straight games and they may slide all the way down to the four seed. And then I think it's pretty easy to say Chris Beard did a nice job, but he didn't shock the world. But if they're able to win that last game and be near second place, then you'd at least consider him. And then Bruce Weber would be the other one, because K-State was picked eighth, Wyatt. Yeah. And if K-State beats Baylor, finishes 10-8 in conference play, and outright fourth place, you know, that is way overachieving from where the coaches thought this Wildcat basketball team would be. When you're picked eighth in the conference, no one's talking about the NCAA tournament.
Right.
And K-State could make it again. So I think those two guys would be in your discussion about what they did to talk about Coach of the Year. But if you just go back, what, 2 weeks ago, maybe three at the most, Kansas was behind Texas Tech. Texas Tech had a game on them in conference record and was looking at playing them at home a little bit later after already beating them at Lawrence. And KU turned that thing right around and said, "This, we already know that they've got a 14th championship in a row, and it's no tie. They cleared it." So, yeah, it should be Bill Self, I think, as Big 12 Coach of the Year. He is an amazing coach. And the thing that you give him credit for, a thousand things, obviously. But Wyatt, this team really has gotten better. You cannot talk about all the questions about the Jayhawk basketball team now. Mid-year, the fans would be the first ones to say, here's our weaknesses. Here's what we can't do. So I hope we can win the conference or at least tie. But boy, don't talk about us in the NCAA tournament, because we might win a couple, but we're not going to be a big factor. Well, that negativity should be thrown out the door, Wyatt. They are playing very good. They're playing high-level basketball and truly look like a number one seed in today's basketball. You know, the parity is incredible. You don't have to be as good as you had to be 15 years ago to be a number one seed. But Kansas definitely is playing to that level. As a Bouquet, is playing great inside. He's starting to make his free throws. Svi has been off the charts good this year. And the supporting cast is starting to play well. So Bill Self not only has a good basketball team, they're playing their best basketball right now.
Well, it's been quite a year in the Big 12, and we look forward to the final weekend and obviously to the league tournament that will start next Wednesday night with Game 1 at 6 o'clock. We remind you that our weekly Wildcat podcast is brought to you by Briggs, the official Wildcat podcast presented by BriggsAuto.com, where they never match prices, they always beat them. BriggsAuto.com, longtime partner of K-State Athletics. By the K-State Superstore, customize your game day experience by shopping online at kstatesuperstore.com. K-State Superstore, official retailers of K-State Athletics. And by Kansas Land Tire, from the freeway to the field and everywhere in between. Wildcat fans trust the friendly folks at Kansas Land Tire and Service for all their tire and auto service needs. Visit thetirestore.com for the Kansas Land Tire near you. Don't forget, we're on the air at noon on Saturday. Tip off just after 1 o'clock for Baylor and Kansas State in the regular season finale. For Stan Weber, I'm Wyatt Thompson. That's our weekly Wildcat podcast. Thanks for listening, and go Cats.
This has been the official Wildcat podcast, presented by Briggs Auto Group, the K-State Superstore, and Kansas Land Tire. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation,